Appreciate the wonderful singing, Brother Glenn's opening prayer on our behalf. Appreciate the opportunity to share the pulpit with Elder David Crawford. Many years of good and sweet fellowship together, all the way back to our childhood. We're thankful for that. Thankful for good memories that we have of times past. And my mind is much on Brother Hewlin Harville this morning. Think about him and what a gracious and kind man that he is, and the way he went about his duties in serving the Lord. I'm just very thankful for that fine example that he set, and thankful for Brother Chris Krause, even Brother Chris Krause. Last Thursday night, Elder Mike Roberts began with a subject dealing with discouragement, which is Satan's primary tool against the children of God. Last night, he preached upon encouragement, the absolute opposite of discouragement. And on Thursday night, I tried to bring to you a message about what one man could do when everything, even his own people, was against him. But Jonathan moved forth in the faith of God with one sword against a great army, and God was on that battlefield, and a great victory was won that day. Amen. Last night, I endeavored to deal with the subject of the children of Israel being in great despair because they were in bondage in a distant land and could see no way that they could ever return home, even when God had promised them that they would. But we know that he did keep his promise. Now, this morning, I perceive that in this country, that children of God in general are in a state of discouragement. We could go run through a list that I could use up all my time dealing with the things that are discouraging the children of God today. But I want to plead with you, do not let that discouragement afflict you. Now I'm going to read three passages of Scripture with you this morning. And Lord willing, we'd like to comment upon those and we'll try to bring them together. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 15. This passage here, 1 Peter 3 and 15, the Apostle Peter actually wraps this whole epistle around this verse. As a matter of fact, this passage right here deals with the subject of evangelism. Did you know that the word evangelism is not in the Bible? But the word evangelist is. Evangelist is a gift that's given to the church. Philip was an evangelist. And so we are instructed in the Word of God to be evangelical in the way we behave ourselves. Now I want you to notice this. Peter says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh a reason of the hope that is in you, and we're to do it with meekness and fear." The second passage I want to read with you is found in Acts chapter 4. This is time when Peter and John were in trouble with the Sanhedrin court. In Acts chapter 4 and verse number 13, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 6, it begins this way in verse number 1. "Whether is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whether is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with thee?" Then the beloved, the bride, answers and says, "My beloved is gone down into his garden." A garden is one of the many characterizations of the church in the Bible. Now, in a garden, he goes on to describe The beauty, the majesty gone down to the garden to enjoy the fruit of that garden. When Jesus Christ appears with us, and we need to be concerned with us in this context, when the Lord appears with us, is he enjoying the fruit of his garden? When we walk out these doors, can people see us and perceive that we have been with Jesus? Now, go with me for just a little bit to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 is the account of the Lord going to Gadara. And there he found the man who was dwelling among the tombs. The man was possessed with devils. When the Lord arrived upon the scene, the citizens of that country had tried to tame that man. They had bound him with fetters, and he broke the fetters. They had bound him with chains, and he broke the chains. He lived among the tombs and cried among the tombs. He had cut himself in his anguish and his grief. They had done everything they could to tame the man, but none could tame him. But Jesus Christ came to the shore. And the man ran down to him. I'm not trying to go through all of that. But the Lord relieved him of the devils that had possessed him. And then the citizens of the community came out and they saw him. They were amazed that this wild man was now sitting by Jesus Christ. He was clothed and in his right mind. This man was so impressed and so in love with Jesus Christ, when the Lord started to depart the shores, this man, Legion, wanted to go and be with the Lord. He wanted to be with the Lord every day. When you consider the great blessings that God has given to you, do you desire that every moment of your life that you would be in his presence? That you would feel him, that you could see him, and you could behold him? This man, Legion, was so in love with the Lord Jesus Christ that he wanted to go with him, that he would never be absent with him. But you know the rest of the story, or you know part of the story. The Lord told this man, "No, you can't go with me in the flesh." But in Mark chapter 5 and verse number 19, Jesus told him, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." Go home and tell how great things the Lord hath done for thee. The citizens round about that area, they were afraid because they had never seen anything happen like that. They wanted the Lord to leave because of their fear. Well, the Lord left. Well, Legion left too. He went home to his friends. And he told how great things the Lord had done for him. And it had compassion upon him. In Mark chapter 5, and you can read through this and put it all in its context and find out that the Lord had come back to the same place again. And when the Lord came back to this same place again, in Mark chapter 8 and verse number 9, the Lord fed them that day, in verse number 9, and they that had eaten were about 4,000. One man went home to his family and to his friends, and he told how great things the Lord hath done for him. And when the Lord came back, that man, that evangelist, brought 4,000 to meet the Lord. Amen. Now, I had a person say to me one time, "Well, that was in those days." Well, you already heard a message this weekend about the Lord being on his throne. Is he still on his throne? When you come to meet the Lord, you know, we're taught in Hebrews 4 and 16 that we can come boldly into the throne of grace where we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Do we spend much time before that throne? And when we leave that throne, can we go out and behave in such a way that people can say, "My goodness, I can tell that he or she hath been with the Lord." When we go to the grocery store and we're at the checkout counter, can people tell that we have been with the Lord? When we spend time with our family, Ephesians chapter 6, can our family tell that we've been with our Lord? Can our children tell that we've been with the Lord? When we go to the workplace, can those that we work with tell that we have been with the Lord? And you young folks who are in school, when you go sit in the classroom, can your classmate and your teachers tell that you've been with the Lord? Folks who observe us ought to be able to tell by what we say and what we do not say, what we do and what we do not do, that we've been with the Lord.
Amen.
And we ought to behave in such a way that those who have the same love of God burning within them that is within us, that they're attracted to us because of that love. The Lord told Jeremiah, with loving kindness have I what? Drawn thee. That's the pattern for us. You want to fill this house up every time it meets? You want to do that? All these churches that are dying, you want to see those churches revived? I do. You know, I am probably one of the most simple-minded human beings around. But my simple mind with one active brain cell is looking dead at Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ came into this world. He was God and man. He gave his life, laid in the tomb for 3 days and three nights, and on the first day of the week, he arose from the dead.
Amen.
There were many that didn't believe it. You know, even his apostles, his own apostles, were confused about that. Read John chapter 14. You know, Lord, where are you going? We don't know where you're going. We don't know what you're about to do. The Lord said, I've told you, and I've told you, and I've told you, and you still don't know. But on the first day of the week, they found out. And from that time on, they went forward, and those who saw them could tell that they had been with the Lord by the way they behaved and the things they said.
Amen.
All right. Now, Peter says that we are to be ready to give an answer to those who ask a reason of the hope that is in us. The first point is that folks need to see the hope that's in you. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter makes 35 points that feed that passage. 35 points about Jesus Christ that we need to know about. I want to touch two right now in the next 8 minutes. Are you ready? No, I ain't going to do that. If you're going to be ready to give an answer, the first thing that you need to know... But you know, there's something else I need to say. You need to be bold too.
Amen.
When you're standing there in that checkout counter and that cashier is standing over there, there is no problem in asking if that cashier seems to have a kind and loving spirit, there is no problem. As a matter of fact, it's altogether right to ask them, where do they go to the church? You know why you ask them that? I sold insurance for 4.5 years. And I know y'all probably going to usher me out now, run me off. But you know, there was a way that I got into people's living room. I asked them, who did you have insurance with? You know, I did not care who they had insurance with. All I wanted to do was get them talking so that I could tell them the company that I represented and how much better what I had was than what they had. And so when you ask a question, where do you go to church? You know, don't tell them you don't care, but you don't. You want to get the conversation started so you can tell them about this outstanding young pastor you've got.
Amen.
And what a powerful preacher he is. You want to tell them how great the love is in this building.
Right.
You want to tell them when you walk in the doors of our church, you better get ready because somebody's going to hug your neck. Somebody's going to tell you, I love you and I'm glad you're here. Not only that, they're going to feed you on speckled trout or whatever that was. They're going to feed you on turtle. And can I tell what else it was when I get you brethren in jail? No, I better not tell that. But the point is, you need to tell them about what you've got. You need to present yourself in such a way that they can see that you have been in the presence of Jesus Christ everywhere you are. All right? Well, one of the first things you need to know when they start asking you about the hope that they see in you, you need to know who you are. Now, we all know who we are. You know, I hate it when a preacher says that. Everybody knows who they are, but do you? You need to know who you are in such a fashion that you can tell others who you are. That's the first point that Peter makes in 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse number 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered about Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. He tells us that we're strangers. We need to live in such a way that everybody knows that this world is not our home.
Amen.
That we are looking for
forward to that eternal home, and we need to look forward with such zeal and such joy that we can say with Paul, to die is gain, to go on to be with the Lord is far better. We need to be able to communicate that we love our Lord Jesus Christ, that he's indeed, where's Brother Mike? He's on his throne. He's on the right hand throne, right hand of the throne of God. He is there making intercession for our sin. He's the faithful witness before our God. He gave his life, died for me, saved me from my sins. Now my home in heaven is prepared, and we can say with Job, I know that my Redeemer liveth. We need to live in such a way that people will see it and know it.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Then he goes on, elect. Don't be bashful about the doctrine of election. Say it. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. What does that mean? Ephesians 1 and 4, before the foundation of the world, God chose a particular people, sent his son to die for them. We need to tell it. Because I'm going to tell you something. When you talk to those who love the Lord, they may wince at it at first. But it's like going to the dessert end of the table first. It is so sweet. It thrills the heart to know that my home in heaven is sure. That God, my love, when I was yet in my sins, he sent his son to die for me. He loved me even before he made this world and chose me. You know why that's precious? You may not get them to admit it, but in their spiritual mind, that mind says, oh, wretched man that I am. And where they're going, the preacher says, you want to go to heaven? Then you do A, B, C, D, E, or F, G, or Z, or Y, however, every place has got their own formula. You know what that spiritual mind says? I'm not hitting the mark. I'm missing the mark. But then there comes somebody who says, you know, that person made that look all that smart. They look like they got a doctorate's degree in theology. But my goodness, they look like they've been with the Lord. If they look like they've been with the Lord, they've got the right answers. Amen. And tell it. I believe in the doctrine of election. I believe that my God has sanctified me. 1 Peter 1 and 2. Sanctified me. What does that mean? That means he reached down. And he took out of the whole lot of humanity a wretched sinner. He took that wretched sinner to himself. He put his arms around that sinner. He says, I'll love you with an everlasting love. There's nothing that will separate you from my love. There's, well, you will die in this world. And your body may lay in that tomb for thousands of years. That Lord says to that child that he loved and sanctified, he says, one day I'm coming to get you. You're going to hear my voice again one day. And that voice is going to say, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And when you say that in such a way that you believe it, when your believing comes forth in your voice, your face will shine and people will say, that person has been with the Lord.
Amen.
Now, you could go on and read the rest of that, but then it comes down to verse number 7. I've got 1 minute. Now listen. Before I read the opening to this section, has anyone had tribulation in your life? How do you deal with it? Woe is me. I'm undone. My life is miserable. Everybody's against me. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm hurting. I'm discouraged. You walk around with your face all drooping down. And you know, if you start walking around in that with that frame of mind, before long your shoulders drop. And you begin to look pitiful. And nobody can tell that you've been with Jesus. But Peter says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold, which is tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You can read that whole section, but I'm going to tell you this before I close. The way that people see the hope that is in you is when they observe you in how you handle your tribulations. If you can face the tribulations of life, If you can stand up like Stephen, say, yep, I'm about to be stoned to death, but look what I see. Can you see what I see? I've got all this troubles. I've got cancer. My wife has got cancer. My children are disobedient. This is happening. The troubles everywhere. Troubles overseas. Troubles downtown. Somebody's taking over the country. But do you see what I see? When you can live through the tribulations of life, looking at Jesus Christ, people can see that you've been with the Lord, and they're going to want some of what you have.
Amen.
Then you can say, come and see. I want you to come where a man is preached. A man that can solve every problem that you got. I want you to come where a man is preached who can say, peace be still, and no matter how great the storm is, there's great calm.
Amen.
I want you to come where a man is preached. He came into this world to save his people from their sins, and he declared, and it is so, that of those that God the Father had given him, he has lost nothing. Do you have something to go home and tell your friends? If you do, go tell it. Day and night, tell it. And may God bless you, my friend.
Amen.